Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, final hour of the show. Birds lose last night, 15-3. Gunnar Henderson did. I got my Dinger Tuesday last night, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Remember I said Gunnar Henderson?
So yard work.
I got my Dinger Tuesday.
I called Jazz Chisholm for a home run yesterday. He got hurt in his first at bat. And then everybody else hit a home run on the Yankees. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks.
Joining us right now, our resident general manager, he is Jim Duquette. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. After that 15-3 beatdown last night, we were talking a little bit earlier. This is, you know, sometimes when you're talking to people who don't really follow baseball, they watch it, and things happen, you give them the answer, man, that's just baseball. They hate that. But the Orioles actually, after last night's beatdown with Cookie Carrasco on the mound tonight, they have a chance still to win this series. That's baseball.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think the hard part to kind of remind ourselves is, like, if you were to equate the season, the start of the season right now, with the number of games that we've played in baseball compared to the NFL, we would be just about at game three of the NFL season. I mean, it's like, it's really every 10 games equals one game of the NFL season. So, you know, I understand there's a lot of panic and a lot of concern around town. And sometimes when you have these, you know, starts to the season and the month especially, it highlights some, you know, overriding concerns that might be there longer term. But it's also very easy to turn things around after a bad first month. So I'll try to give that as a perspective for people listening, and maybe they can take heart that, you know, a 1-2 start for the NFL season, you know, isn't bad. You know, and really with the Orioles, as ugly as it's looked so far, there's a lot of teams that have had starts like this or worse and come back and actually gotten to the postseason.
The start side, and you're right. I mean, this, we try to keep people from, you know, crawling out on a ledge somewhere, because it is only April. It's not May for another, tomorrow. That's right.
Right.
So it's early. However,
yes.
The eyeball test. Looking at this team, how confident are you that they're going to do what you just said and come back and actually make the postseason the way they look right now?
Right. And I love that, because my dad used to say, well, all right, once that's been established that we shouldn't be panicking, now let's get to the real root of the problem here and see if we can solve it, right? So the starting pitching is a major concern. There's no question. I think we saw this even from the wintertime. So that's the hard part, is like when you see things, you know, that were a concern in the winter and now it plays out the first part of the season, like it's a real concern. And obviously, you know, with bringing in, you know, a Kyle Gibson, you're like, okay, well, all right, that'll settle things down. And it didn't go very well last night. So I think all of those being considered, like this is a team right now with the rotation, they're going to have to find some creative ways to win ball games with what you hope is their strength, which is, I think it's going to be a really good bullpen. The numbers don't show it, but there are, you know, signs that from my perspective that the bullpen should be good. So meaning, all right, you're going to have to go a little shorter with your starters and longer with your bullpen, like the Guardians did last year for most of the season. And you know, offensively, they got some young guys that need to step up and prove that they're legitimate major leaguers, like the organization's been touting and like we've seen in spurts. And I think that group, that's, you know, the offensive group is capable of doing that. You know, there's obviously the slower start for Gunnar when he comes out, you know, when he was delayed coming in, and Kowser being out, he's been, that's a huge loss at the moment. So, you know, but that usually good teams find ways to step up and fill in the void until, you know, you get healthy again. So that's where my concern mostly is in the starting rotation. But I am I will throw a yellow flag up for the offense, because we saw this happening with a similar type group last year, and that was a group that had Santander as a part of it. So, you know, I think that's where you know, we're going to see the next couple of weeks how things go. It's a little weaker schedule in May. I think you kind of, you know, you harp on that a little bit and hope that, you know, you see better offense and to some degree better starting pitching over the next couple of weeks.
Let me ask you about the Yankees, because like what Aaron Judge is doing is it's ridiculous, and I know it's so early, but he's been doing this for a while now. Where I feel like it's so valuable to be able to hit in front of him or behind him. And Paul Goldschmidt is turning back the clock. What are you seeing with this group? Even Bellinger's, had a bomb. They've got some bats in there that I wasn't all that high on. I thought they made knee jerk reactions after missing out on Soto, but it's worked out so far.
Yeah, it has. I think when you have, it always helps when you have the best hitter, one of the best in the sport, right? So Judge can carry you and help you win games all by himself. But there's been some guys, like Goldschmidt's a proven star. Now, he's 37 years old, so you don't know how that's going to roll. But right now he's come in and trying to prove that he still has some years left. Bellinger is always a roller coaster ride. When he's hot, he's hard to get out, and then there's other times where, man, he'll have a long streak and you're not sure he can get another hit, so there's going to be some inconsistencies there. But let's not forget Chisholm. They picked up last year. He really hasn't started to hit yet, but he's a credible offensive player. The kid Ben Rice looks like he's for real, so. And then Austin Wells, who had, at one point was hitting fourth for them last year, he's hitting down in the lineup right now. Like it's a better offensive group than people thought, even after losing Soto. So I think they're for real. I have serious concerns about their rotation too, by the way, but not as much of a concern as I do the O's right now.
Jim the Cat, thanks a lot, man. What are you working on? Anything we need to follow?
We're not working on anything specific, Rob. Thanks for allowing me to promote that, but I'm not at the current moment. Just doing my typical Met stuff. I get to watch them and go up to New York every couple weeks. So,
Jim.
It's been fun to watch. It's been a fun start for them. They haven't started this well since 2006. That was a pretty good year for the Mets.
Ed, did you see that great play in the outfield from Juan Soto?
That wasn't too good.
I mean, you can dead fish dog
coming out.
Jeremy, they're 21-9. Come on now.
No, it's funny. I showed Rob the video where you're laughing, and I'm like, man, he's such a good hitter.
Good all around player.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a one-tool player.
Yeah.
Jim, thanks a lot, my man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one. Jeremy Collins, Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, Grayson Rodriguez told Foul Territory guys that the players-only meeting proves there's no drama in the clubhouse. You agree with that? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
You take some veterans that can run the meetings and stuff like that. I mean, that's good. That's kind of saying, there's really no drama that's happening in the clubhouse right now, which is good. I think maybe some teams that are losing games kind of have a little bit of, extra drama. Like right now, not really seeing that in the clubhouse. So I think guys are really just trying to figure it out. They're trying to come up with different ways we can score runs, kind of getting back to the basics. But yeah, I mean, nothing crazy happened. Like I said, dude, everybody's in pretty good attitudes and, showing up to the park every day ready to play.
That's Grayson Rodriguez, Orioles pitcher, talking to the guys at Foul Territory. They asked him about the players only meeting, the position players only meeting. And he gave an answer that I think is to be honest with you, quite accurate. These guys are on the same page. They know what's going on. They know what's not going on, Ed. A lack of success does not always mean drama.
No.
It does not. Sometimes it does because people want to start pointing the fingers, but Grayson's saying in this case, it does not.
No, it does not. It's like, it doesn't mean drama. It doesn't mean they're lying. It doesn't mean they're making excuses. And it just is what it is sometimes. This is the fact. This is the situation. I'm like, it's like, That's it. It's, I feel like I really empathize with him. It's like, because I'm getting bombarded. People keep asking me when I'm coming back. My friends are asking me. I can't go anywhere. Like, this is just the situation. Like, this is, had surgery, have an open wound, I can't move, and then when it's healed, I'll be moving.
I can't believe that's it. The like, people are just going to berate you with that. When are you coming back? When are you coming back? So when are you coming back, Ed?
I don't know. When the doctor clears me. I mean, this is like, it's getting me, it's people, I don't think they're getting it. Like,
It's cancer. Yes. Cancer.
And now that that's gone, I have an open wound that you saw is oozing every day in my back. And if it gets infected, I am screwed. It's like,
I mean, it's huge. It reminded me of an ex-girlfriend. Joe's over there shaking his head. Anyway, but like this stuff with Grayson, though, too, it's, we had that caller earlier that was talking about, is this something we're going to have to deal with, and kind of compared him to Hunter Harvey. What if he is just an injury-prone guy? I can't tell you how many guys that are so good initially come in, and they don't have the type of careers you expect after watching them. And that may be the case. Maybe this is something that's just happening early on. We talked about Machado, who was often hurt his first couple years. We kept going, is this what you're going to deal with? What's he done since then? Played almost every damn game.
Yep.
Every year. So, you know, you just don't know. Unless it's Anthony Davis, and then you know he's going to get hurt. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's answering the question. I think he's answering the question accurately. You know, I talk to several guys that are around the team a lot, and I ask them, I keep getting asked, is there anything going on in the clubhouse? Do you sense something? Am I missing something? And everybody to a person says, no, I'm not picking up on this. The guys are just as close as the same activities they had in the past. They do a lot. I mean, you go in that clubhouse sometimes, and I'll pull back the curtain. Sometimes you get a little frustrated because you're there to get sound. You're there to talk to the players, and sometimes it's ghost town in there because they're out fielding practice, batting practice, and then you know they're not ghosting you because you hear the bat hit the ball in the tunnel. You hear the leather pop. You hear them working. And it's the same as last year, the year before, as 22. Before then, not so much. They used to have some a-holes in that clubhouse.
Well,
way back in the day, Aubrey Huff and all those, Luke Scott and all those guys, those are some a-holes in that clubhouse. But this clubhouse, you just don't have those guys. And I hate when people say, well, you need some dogs. You need this, you need that. You know, you kind of take away, you're telling me that you can't win with nice guys. You know, that's kind of an indictment, a slap in the face. Oh, we got to be a-holes to win? That what you're telling me? You can win with nice
You know what's guys. Funny is, like, if you go to football and everybody's talking about dogs, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, and you might say some of those guys are dogs for how they play, but from a leadership quality standpoint, the most vocal person in that office is A.J. Brown, and they're talking about trading
him. Getting rid of him.
So,
yeah, because he doesn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, look, to each their own and what they're expecting from, like, leadership and things like that, but the thing that bothers me, and I said something to you, you've got all these people, like, we cover this team. You're with the team. There are people that cover the team that are in the clubhouse. I am never going to make a statement about the clubhouse like I know what's going on there when I don't.
But people do.
And there's so many of these guys right now that just keep going, oh, yeah, I heard there's issues in the clubhouse. Gunner's upset at this. It's like, you live in another country, jackass. What are you talking about? There are people that put out misinformation nonstop on social media and pretend like it's true.
And I never see those people, Ed. Where have you been? I have people declaring who's the leader, who's not the leader. I'm like, well, I don't ever see you. How do you know this?
Yeah. And, like, obviously you have the most access to the team, but I know people who, you know, have access to it. They've said the same thing that you've said. Like, you know, people who have identified as leaders are like, no, that's not true at all.
The one who used to kill me was Trey Mancini. No, he's not. Never has been. No, he never was. It just, you know, that's the guy you like the most, and I get that. Likeable guy. But in order to lead, people got to follow you. And like I always say, if not, you're just taking a walk.
Yep.
Let's go to Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, Rob. Hey, Rob, I'm pretty sure you work with people that you don't like. You know, you probably work with somebody every day that you don't like.
We're sitting right here. You know that.
Yeah.
So listen, like, what's wrong with working with somebody that you don't like? It's just a job at the end of the day, right?
No one ever asked me, does everybody like each other in the clubhouse? That's not what they say. It's two different things, dude. Is there drama in the clubhouse, or do you like everybody in the clubhouse? Those are two different questions. I could not like you show up for work every day and be no drama. That doesn't, just because you dislike one another doesn't instantly create drama. So you're bringing two different things to the table.
And also, I disagree. I've worked with people. This is like, this is actually a happy time for me, because I've had periods in my careers, both of them, where I've really been miserable, where people just made every day freaking hell. Like, you just didn't want to walk into the whatever building it was. Like,
Does Mader know you're talking about him?
I love Mader.
So Eli, now, am I telling you that everybody in that clubhouse likes one another? I wouldn't know that.
No.
And I wouldn't think so either, because you got 30 guys in the clubhouse. But I'm telling you, there's no drama.
Hey, sometimes you need drama, you feel me?
No, you don't. 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 That's what the people around here used to say when they put together shows, and then they realized that was wrong, and they did the opposite, and look at the ratings. No, you don't. No, you don't need drama. You don't. That's this. Who wants, Eli, who needs drama? Name one person who needs drama. Because that's what drama creates, Ed, disharmony. Name one person that needs that.
I'm watching this season, and it's a story that they're telling right now. Right now, you know, people down on us, and that's fine. But like,
I'm not worried about that. I want you to follow up on what you're saying. Like, who needs drama? When is there ever time where drama is a good? You know what? We're missing something. What do you need? Drama.
Rob, this is what we need. We need Jack Flaherty.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Okay. Look,
Flaherty's been pitching great since he left here. But again, this is what we talked about when people were talking about the other options. Like, maybe they should have been more aggressive with a Nate Eovaldi type or a Nick Pivetta.
But that's his whole thing. That's why that was his whole setup with the drama. The whole Jack Flaherty. He's been on that forever.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Flaherty's great.
The Tigers may be the best team in the American League, so they're not giving up Jack Flaherty right now.
But I don't know if it's more about getting Jack Flaherty or if it's the fact that they didn't even kick the tires on him in the offseason, but. Again, from some of the people I've talked to that are down in the clubhouse, they wasn't very liked.
Yeah, here we go. All right, let's go with this. Okay. 3.22, 4.25, 4.99, 4.43, 3.17, 2.95, 6.75, 3.58, 3.34.
The 6.75, is that here?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's split between here and, you know.
No. That was during his time here. That was specifically his 9 appearances and 7 starts here. That was specifically his time in Baltimore.
Because we needed some drama.
Exactly. Yeah. The 6.75 was here. Which one doesn't belong?
What if we moved the walls back and put it like on Utah Street something?
I'm just saying, man. I mean, again, it goes back to what you just said. You're not there. People try to tell you what's going on. His ERA, it was respectable in every stop except the 6.75. And that was the team that won 101 games.
Yeah.
You do the math, man. Mm. That math ain't mathing.
Should have won 110.
Joe LaCroix's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Conn, is the Daily Line.
Yeah, went 2-3 in my top plays. Hit the top 2 plays. I don't know if that's worth anything for you, but had some tough losses and some that just swings and misses. But we got some good weather spots today. 2 NBA games I like, an NHL game. I'll tell you about all that when we come back in the Daily Line.
The stretch by Finnegan and a 2-0 in the dirt, and there's a stop. Here comes Stott. He'll score. The ball got away up the first baseline. Bryson Stott with a mad dash for the plate, dives head first, and the Phillies have won it on a walk-off wild pitch.
Oof, what a way to walk it off. Wild pitch there gets it done. That's courtesy of Phillies Radio Network. My top 2 plays yesterday were the Cubs over and the Phillies over. I hit both of those. And to be brutally honest, I got lucky in the Cubs game with a 9th inning score that helped put it over the total by a half a run. In the Phillies-Nats game, a lot of action late during the bullpen when they were in and some scoring there. And obviously you heard the heroics late for the walk-off. All I cared is it went over 8.5 runs, which you had already done by that point in time. But, you know, a little lucky. Sometimes you need it. As far as the other plays in the top play, Giants stunk up with the joint. They gave up 3 in the first, battled back, cut it to 1, and then ended up losing. The Royals-Rays never got there. I thought it was going to go over the total, and I'm going to be back on that spot again today. And God bless it, man. The Nuggets making me look like an idiot. The Clippers, what are you doing? Jamal Murray shows up last night, who has been phenomenal in the postseason in years past, but felt like he was a ghost this series. And then out of nowhere, he just runs roughshod over him. The Clippers, again, looked terrible last night. So where are we going today? Let's take a look at the NBA. I'm going to go back to the Warriors plus the 4 against the Rockets. I thought about betting the under here. This will be a lean for me. I think it's the right spot. I don't know. The Rockets down 3-1 going back home. What's going to happen? We shall see. I don't know if I told you at the beginning of the series, the Warriors were favored as a 7 seed to knock off the 2 seed in the series. which I found odd, but here we are, 3-1, and having an opportunity to knock them off on their home floor. I like them plus the points. I think we get a close game tonight. I like the Lakers to bounce back. I think this one's going 7. This is the type of stuff that Luka does. Yeah. It's so funny hearing everybody try to drag Luka now for his defense. He's never been a good defender. Guess who else isn't good defenders? Steph's not a good defender. I mean, we can get into all these guys in the league and who get attacked in the postseason.
Why are you attacking Luka? Attack this guy.
Yes.
Attack that guy. Me.
Was that directed at me?
What are you doing, Ed?
the point being, when people are trying to drag him, I heard Kendrick Perkins try to make sense of this damn trade, and he's defending Nico, and I'm going, you're defending the guy that made the worst trade in NBA history.
He's got to axe the grind when it comes to Luka. He does.
Yeah.
Because he was going on yesterday, going over and on. And I'm not saying it's ridiculous how Anthony Edwards was a much better player than Luka.
Okay.
And again, I'm not, but it's like the conversation was organic and came out of nowhere. Yeah. They were talking about Anthony Edwards, and then he threw Luka in it. He's got an axe to grind for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Anthony Edwards is phenomenal.
He is.
On both sides of the floor. But
the conversation came from nowhere. Like, okay, where did that come from?
Could I make a case that Luka's the best offensive player in the league? Could I make that case? Offensive, yeah. I mean, look, filling up the stat sheet, all the things he does, the assists, the points, even rebounds.
I would say the other white foreign dude.
Jokic, fair enough. Again, you just want to keep going over white foreigners? Tell me more I can find. But you could make the case of that. He's different on offense and can take over a game, and so can, Edwards took over the last one. But again, I think the Lakers win tonight. They're favored by 5.5. I like them to cover. In the NHL, here we go again. St. Louis, Winnipeg. I'm going back to the under under 5.5. It's -140 juice to the under. Which means if more money keeps coming in, you could see it go the other way. I think it stays at 5.5 and it doesn't move to 5, but you can bet it early if you want. I do like that play quite a bit.
You like the unders that you're doing here?
Yeah, St. Louis and Winnipeg. And it's weird, Ed. So look at the games tonight, as I'm just looking at money coming in and how things look. Like the Caps are almost a 2-1 favorite. Winnipeg is -175 roughly. That's almost a 2-1 favorite. And then it's virtually a pick 'em in Florida and Tampa Bay. And because of the money, it would make me want to pick Florida, but I just stayed away from it. So
yeah, I think you're right about that. Winnipeg it was the only team in the NHL that gave up fewer than 200 goals.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, they burned me in the postseason once on an under, but I've been betting their unders in the right spots for most of the season. So they've been very kind to me, so hopefully we go back to it and it happens. Let's look at the MLB weather today. As I sent to my subscribers last night, the weather had picked up in the Orioles game, the Phillies game, and the Cubs game. Wind blowing out, great spots, warm weather. All three games went over. All three of them. So, you look at these spots and understand why I look at the weather. Cleveland under today, top spot. Phillies under today, top spot. Mets under is really good if you're looking at the matchup. I am actually on all three of those plays, just following the money and looking at some stuff. Here's what I like today. Here's the leans, and then I'll tell you my favorite plays. I like the Seattle and LA Angels game to go over the 8.5. That's Emerson Hancock. He sucks. The LA Angels are throwing Tyler Anderson, who's a decent pitcher, but I think this Mariners team can run into a couple off the lefty. I like the Mets and D-backs to go under 8. Mets right now haven't announced a starter, but sounds like they're going with a bullpen game, and I'm fine with that if that's what they decide to do against this D-backs team. Corbin Burns going for Arizona. Now, my top plays today, I'm going with St. Louis and Cincinnati over 9 in game 1. That's a 12:40 start. Love this spot. I think people are scared away from the total because Brady Singer's pitching. I'm not. I mean, look, he's really good and can strike out a lot of guys, but he also gives up the long ball quite often, and it's hot in Cincinnati. I like KC and Tampa Bay to go over the 8.5. Told you I'm going back to the well there. I think this is another interesting spot for the bats, as I'm not scared of it. Drew Rasmussen's a really good pitcher. He's working his way back from that injury. And again, I'm not afraid of him right now. I think it's a guy you can attack. And on the flip side for Kansas City, again, not a lot that you worry about. I don't know if you guys know who Noah Cameron is. I'm not even sure if Noah Cameron knows who Noah Cameron is, but he's starting for the Royals today. Could be a pleasant surprise, and the kid comes out and wows you. Maybe it turns into a bullpen game. I don't know, but I like the bats here either way. Also, I'm going to be on the Orioles tonight. We just talked about it. This is the type of stuff that I look at, and I'm going to tell you where the money's at, and you guys can look. In a virtual pick'em game, the Yankees -110, Orioles virtually -110 in a lot of places that you're looking, and 70% of the money coming in on the Yankees, I'm fading that. every effing time. Give me the Orioles tonight. I know it doesn't look good, but Cookie Carrasco, that's a gas can. If they can't hit him tonight in the algorithm, drink. I see Gunner. I see Cedric. I see a lot of the left-handed bats showing up in the algo today. Yeah. I see you, Seti. I see you, Gunner. Yeah, you want me to do that? Like, we can keep doing that. Jackson Holland, I think all the lefty bats are good tonight, and I think it's going to be a long night for Cookie. That being said, my top two plays tonight are the Minnesota-Cleveland under. That's at 7, and or the total 7, and Washington-Philly under 7.5. With Washington-Philly, it's, you know what, nobody's talking about it really, but so far this year, I think Christopher Sanchez has been the best Phillies pitcher. I mean, you put Zach Wheeler in that group. Sanchez against the Nats, I like it. For the Nats, it's Irvin. Not that he's special, but I think he can limit damage. He's a fly ball pitcher with the wind blowing in. I'll take it every single time. And with Minnesota and Cleveland, it's Luis Ortiz who, for whatever reason, grades out unbelievably well today in the algorithm. I know we've gotten in trouble with that with Charlie Morton before, but I still trust the algorithm, even though it's missed a couple times. But in that spot, looking at Philly, I think it's a really good spot for Sanchez and Irvin to get it done. And with Minnesota and Cleveland, we just talked about it. Pablo Lopez, Luis Ortiz, the guy there, I think it's a good spot for an under. So again, to recap, my top plays, all baseball, almost all totals. It's the Washington Philly under, Minnesota Cleveland under, St. Louis Cincy Cincinnati over in game one. That's a 12:40 start. I like Kansas City and Tampa Bay to go over the 8.5. And I like the Orioles minus the 110 today. There surprise, surprise. Win a series.
There you go. There you go. Mike in Baltimore has been waiting patiently. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. I want to know, what do y'all think about, what's going on? Do you think the NFL is investigating this thing with the coach's son pranking Shador? Because, I mean, regardless of how you feel about him, that was like a breach, and I think that the coach should be fined or some kind of punishment.
If you can't prove the coach gave him the information, you can't fine him. The only way you can find a coach is if it's proven that he gave him Shador Sanders' information. You can't find me because my tablet was on my desk at my house.
Yeah,
because
my son's an A-hole.
Yeah, you can't find me for that.
Yeah, but I just thought they kind of swept it under the rug because that's a breach.
They said they were investigating.
They're investigating.
They said it.
They're still investigating.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard anything else. I was just wondering about
that. When the initial story came out, they said it's still being investigated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering about that because I said, that should be, regardless of how you feel about Shador or Deion, that's like a breach. And that's, you know.
Yeah, Mike, stop calling him with misinformation.
It's
Mike,
only a
the
breach
truth.
If he gave him the information. You suspend me or fine me because my son did something that had nothing to do with. You gotta prove that I gave it to him.
I'm okay if you suspend him.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
The point is, like, you know, if this is true, what's being alleged about this girl, like, if you don't want that getting out or you're trying to keep it under wraps, why can't you just say you met at a party? Like, oh, whose party? Oh, it was a friend of mine. You don't know him. He goes to another school. Like, whatever. Just make it up.
That's what I always say. She goes to another school. You don't know her. And you think she could be a big problem?
100%. 100%.
Can a woman be a problem, man?
I mean, you're asking me if a woman
could be a problem? this particular woman. but here's the issue, though.
Is that a serious question?
I'm going to have a heart attack.
Well, when you ignore the warning signs.
We all ignore them. We go colorblind when there's a red flag. We think it means go. Yes.
Here's the biggest issue.
I mean, the fact that she had the balls to walk up the set and yelling at this one of the winningest coaches in NFL history. She yells in the background, "We're not talking about that." Boom, and she leaves, and he's sitting there like a schmuck. Like, yeah, this could be a big problem. And if I was a player at UNC or a booster, I'd be like, uh-oh.
She's got to go.
Uh-oh.
And that's the encore for today, Ed.
Lion's Den is sponsoring the encore, of course. Explore your curiosity and keep that spark alive. It's a great adult store. The usual stuff you'd expect. It's just beautiful stuff. But great clothing, lingerie, games, cards, books, all kinds of stuff. Check out Lion's Den.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Baltimore, Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Man, y'all treat me like Shador Sanders today, man. You know, almost got pushed to the fifth hour.
You about to get hung up, you know? Boy. Better hurry up. We got to learn today.
Well, listen, man. This guy Mike called in, you know, complaining about, you know, Shador Sanders getting pranked, man. Like, come on. Why are we worrying about a millionaire that got pranked? People get pranked every day in life.
He's still a kid.
I got
a young man.
It is what it is.
I disagree with you on this. Even though, like, people called me out, like, it's his moment. Like, yes. Even if he's an a-hole, let him have his moment.
That's low ball.
God, this Mike got pranked last year, right? It was another player that got pranked. They said they never bring that up.
That's not good either.
But Shador wasn't the only one that got pranked this year. There were like four or five guys. Bond from Texas got pranked. You know, there were a handful of guys.
Ed, tell us what you learned today.
I learned, well, you guys remember the old movie Airplane?
Yes. Yes, I loved it.
It's where I first learned to speak jive.
Remember the conversation in the cockpit?
Yes.
About the food poisoning?
Yes.
You know,
every passenger on this plane will have fish for dinner. We'll become violently ill in the next half hour.
Just how serious is it, Doctor?
Extremely serious. Starts with a slight fever, dryness of the throat. As the virus penetrates red blood cells, the victim becomes dizzy. Begins to experience an itching, a rash. From there, the poison goes to work on the central nervous system, causing severe muscle spasms, followed by the inevitable drooling. At this point, the entire digestive system collapses, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence, until finally the poor bastard is reduced to a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
Yep. That actually happened post the movie being released. I didn't know that. This happened to come across my computer today. In 1982, a flight from Lisbon, Portugal, to Boston, Massachusetts, had the crew get food poisoned. And because of that 1982 flight, changed airline policy. I didn't know this was a real thing. The pilot and co-pilot, current modern day, have to eat separate meals. Even if they bring their own food on board, they can't eat the same airline food. If they bring their own food on board, they have to eat different things to prevent exactly what happened here. So sometimes life imitates art.
A couple of national days today. Today is National Bubble Tea Day. I heard of it, but I've never had it before.
It's good.
Today is National Military Brats Day. Also, Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. Oatmeal Raisin Cookie Day.
Love them.
National Hairstylist Appreciation Day. And National Bugs Bunny Day.
What's up with that, Doc?
I don't know.
That's
man.
All, folks. Those porky pigs. So.
Some birthdays in sports. Former Oriole pitching coach Ray Miller would have celebrated a birthday today. Former baseball player and manager Phil Gardner turns 76 today. Race driver Michael Waltrip, turns 62 today. Former Towson Tiger and New York Giant, New England Patriot Dave Meggett turns 59 today. And Isaiah Thomas and Jeff Rebele share a birthday today. Joe, who's older?
Isaiah Thomas.
Hold on. Which Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
No. Detroit Pistons. That's a good one, though.
I'm going Isaiah.
Ed?
I'll say Isaiah Thomas.
You're right, but it's closer than I thought. Much closer than I thought. Isaiah Thomas, did they turn 64? Jeff Rebele, 61. I would have thought it was even that close if somebody would have asked me. I thought Isaiah would be much older.
Another problem for the Knicks.
Yikes. All right, well, here. Yeah. I just got the news that they're suggesting that people check on the elderly. I'm usually up by 4:30. Please bring donuts. Here's one for you. I saw my therapist yesterday. She said, it seems like you have an acute phobia of marriage. Do you know the symptoms? And I told her, I said, I can't say I do. She said, exactly, that's one of them. I went out with a one-legged girl once who worked in a brewery. She was in charge of the hops. Ed, you'll love this one. Light travels faster than sound. That's why some people appear bright until you hear them speak.
I do like that one.
Took a Viagra this morning, but it got stuck in my throat. I've had a stiff neck all day. Maybe I should just throw out all the... Grandpa's addicted to Viagra. Nobody's taking it harder than Grandma. And I just take a half a pill so I don't roll out of bed at night. Just on a roll here. For the 10th year in a row, my coworkers voted me the most secretive guy in the office. I can't tell you how much that means to me. So stupid. What do you find in the middle of nowhere? The letter H. See, that one's really a joke because, like, if you do it now and here, and then there's the H for nowhere, just so people know. I quit my job as a taxi driver. Too many people were talking behind my back. I got to clean this one up. What is grammar? The difference between knowing your crap and knowing your crap. You get it? It's the your. That's where we're going with that one.
Yeah.
And what's blue and doesn't weigh much? Light blue. One more. All right. My Tinder match said she'd talk to me again when she got home. Guess she's homeless. Hasn't called back.
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.